And welcome back to politics. Although I call it politics, my name is Presh, and the title of this episode is Donald Trump's Trade Tariffs. Right, so we don't have anything to clean up from last week, so let's just get straight into the news. Right, so just some minor context before we start the story. Right, what is BRICS? BRICS is an economic agreement to promote trade between certain countries, and those countries are what BRICS stands for: Brazil, Russia, China, India, and South Africa. Sorry, I did that in the wrong order. Right, although more common countries have since joined. Right, just want to clarify that this is not a military agreement. If South Africa was under attack, the other BRICS countries would not step in to help us out. This is strictly economic cooperation between the countries, that's all. Right. So yes, in 2023 at the BRICS summit, a feasibility study was commissioned into creating a common currency for the BRICS countries. This would make trade easier and reduce the costs of having to convert to dollars to make trades. It would also reduce the influence that America has to punish the countries that they disagree with, as they will no longer be able to sanction countries by restricting the access to American capital and trade. So yes, anytime America thinks a country is misbehaving or doing something that they dislike, they put sanctions on them, and that country is unable to get goods and services. I guess it's probably only goods that they don't have access to those goods anymore. So yeah, now the actual story this week comes from a tweet by Donald Trump. And by the way, I saw a tweet asking why so many leftists follow Donald Trump on Twitter. And it's because he just tweets out policy like this. Quote, "The idea that the BRICS countries are trying to move away from the dollar while we stand by and watch is over. We require a commitment from these countries that they will neither create a new BRICS currency nor back any other currency to replace the mighty dollar, or they will face 100% tariffs and should expect to say goodbye to selling into the wonderful US economy. They can go find another sucker. There is no chance that the BRICS countries will replace the US dollar in international trade, and any country that tries should wave goodbye to America." Right. Now, I don't think Trump is entirely wrong. This is something called protectionism, right? You make tariffs higher so that the companies importing foreign goods have to try source locally or raise prices, which again makes local sellers more attractive, as they won't have to raise prices, right? But then what if you can't source something locally? Then prices are extremely high. So one thing that I know South Africa produces is something called rooibos tea. And say I'm in America and I love rooibos tea, and rooibos tea costs like $1. Because of the tariffs, it'll probably become $2. And you know, it's even though I'm just giving a small example, but that's how it would work. Unless they can produce rooibos tea in America, then it would remain at $1. That's what I'm trying to get at here. Right? Yeah. Protectionism keeps money circulating in your economy instead of growing another country's economy. But then what's to stop the BRICS countries from doing the same and America losing out on things that can only be produced in that particular country? So I just gave the example of rooibos, but also it would hurt the American ability to dip into the Chinese market and trade with the Chinese and have access to Chinese capital, which would also be bad, right? We, as the world, should be cooperating, not fighting each other, right? Trade wars only hurt the consumers. It doesn't, you know, affect the rich and the politicians that are making these laws, right? So again, some context before we start the next story. This is obviously a South African podcast, and Again, obviously, not so long ago, we lived under apartheid, a system called apartheid, right? The coalition which toppled apartheid was called the Tripartite Alliance, made up of COSATU, which is a trade union federation, meaning that they coordinate trade unions for striking and any other operations that trade unions do, right? The next group as part of the Tripartite Alliance is the SACP, which stands for the South African Communist Party, who obviously advocates for communism. And lastly, the third part of the Tripartite Alliance is the ANC, who are primarily about black liberation, in relation to apartheid, but their economic policy is one of liberalism. From all the way back to Mandela, to Mbeki, for a short while, Zuma, he doesn't really have an economic policy, he just kind of did whatever. And now, Ramaphosa is also a liberal. So, for the most part, ANC has always been a liberal party, right? And just because the SACP are part of the alliance, usually COSATU and the ANC are both painted as communists as well. So it should go without saying that just because you are an ally of communists doesn't mean you are a communist yourself. Like, say I'm a capitalist who happens to believe in trade unions and I'm a member of NUMSA. That doesn't make me a communist that NUMSA is associating themselves with the ANC and the SACP, right? Certain right-wingers would say, well, just because you associate with communists, that means it's the same. But I reject this, right? Now, this week, the SACP General Secretary Solly Mapela announced that the party would contest local elections independently of the ANC. Oh, sorry, I forgot to mention. The SACP does not contest elections themselves. The ANC contests elections on behalf of the entire Tripartite Alliance, right? Solly Mapela said that the party will finalize the specifics of its independent campaign plan at its fifth special national conference, which is set for the next 2 weeks. Quote, after the special national congress, the Political Bureau and Central Committee will delve into tactical details towards the 2026 local government elections. Quote, following our all-important bilateral meeting with the ANC on November 26, 2024, going forward, our engagement will be firmly guided by the outcomes of our special national congress, Mapela said. According to Umbalula, as far as this would affect the alliance, they agreed progressive talks will be held next year. Quote, and then at the ANC, we'll discuss with them the implications of that decision in terms of its implementation because it has got some serious implications for the alliance. That kind of decision, he said, we have agreed with the party and we want to respect that, and we want to respect the party as an independent organ, but we did caution in terms of the ANC. We have cautioned against that. The party raised its own issues around it, and we will engage going forward, he stated. He further mentioned this matter will be discussed with the ANC NEC, and the outcome will be known from there. Mbalula said the ANC would give itself enough time to properly analyze the issue and the risks involved before making a decision, adding, quote, because sometimes you don't have a choice, because you are completely depleted on the ground. Now, in terms of this, I don't know how much support the SACP has independently of the ANC. And by the way, the ANC have been leaking support to the MK party in this previous election. So this is another blow to the ANC that they're losing one of their members. Apparently, the reason for the SACP contesting elections locally is that they are unhappy with the GNU, the Government of National Unity, with the ANC teaming up with the DA and a few other smaller parties. And I have to agree, it was kind of bullshit that they teamed up with the DA. But I think it might go badly, if I'm being honest. We just apparently in this country don't have an appetite for communists. The last actual leftist party, the SWRP, is someone who I would have voted for. They are horrifically badly run, and they only got about 25,000 votes in the last election, which is not enough to make a difference. So let's see if the SACP does any better than them, and yeah, let's see how that goes going forward. I will revisit the story in like 2 years to see where we are on this. If this podcast is still running, we'll see. Right. So this news story just happened today, therefore information is still in flux, and I will probably come back next week and, fill in details that are not available to me right now. Right? I'm just going to report what we know for now, and again, next week I will clarify. Right? So South Korea's president Yoon Suk-yeol, who is an arch-right winger and self-describes himself as a conservative, although after the actions of today I would call him a fascist. I'm going to give you a summary of what happened in Korea, South Korea, I should say. Right? The president of South Korea expected an impeachment from the opposition, so the Liberal Democrats in the Korean government. Right? To prevent that, he declared martial law banning all political activity, which bad. That's one of the horrifically bad things. You never want to enter martial law, and he just did it to because it was politically advantageous for him to do that. So that is a gross misuse of powers, right? Then the Korean army came and closed off the parliament to prevent MPs to come in and vote. Right? Then Korean MPs climbed over the fence and made their way into the parliament, breaching the block or the blockade. Right? The special forces tried to storm the parliament to stop the political activity. The parliament was able to vote, and they voted unanimously to lift the martial law and lift all restrictions. Right? The army, not knowing what to do first, decided to abide by the parliament and left. Martial law will remain in place in South Korea until the president issues a decree to lift it. The president is constitutionally obliged to lift martial law after a decision by parliament. The South Korean president is expected to be arrested and impeached, according to media reports. Therefore, the opposition and the people won by sneaking into parliament and voting. So once again, as per usual, the right wing cannot win power on their own. They need to rely on strong arming and the military to maintain their power. The power of the people is on the left side, as Malcolm X once stated. We're not outnumbered, we are outorganized, right? And South Korea has a history of leftist strikes and being against the right-wing governments of South Korea, which allied itself with America. And yeah, like I said, the story is still in flux, so I don't know too much about it at the moment. And yeah, so thank you for listening. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, give a like, etc. Importantly, it needs to be a 5-star review. I would, get some dog shit, put it in a brown paper bag, and light it on fire in front of your house if you don't give a 5-star review. Then you go out, it's on fire, and you try to stamp it out. You stamp, stamp, stamp. Then you realize, oh shit, there's dog shit on my shoe now. Burnt dog shit is on my shoe. Is that what you want, people? Personally, that's not something I want to do, actually. So why don't you save us all some trouble by just giving a 5-star review? I don't think it's that difficult to just get on the app, tap the five, and then go home. Go home. Go home to your family. So yeah, tell a family member about this podcast and au revoir.